Welcome along to Game On this afternoon. We've got a great show lined up today, of course. Wes and myself here. Wes knows his games. I'm not so sure about them, but the two guys who really know what they're talking about are here. That's Mike Priest and Sumeet. Welcome along to the show, guys.
Good to be here, as always. Hi.
Yeah, we've got quite a bit to get through today. We're going to start with Sumeet and go straight to Sumeet with this one. What are we starting with, Sumeet?
I think we're going to start with Assassin's Creed Revelation. And I must say, the game looks phenomenal. We saw it at E3. I mean, we didn't actually go ourselves to E3, but whatever trailers and demos and everything we checked out, I must say, it's the end of the trilogy.
I think it was Assassin's Creed. I mean, the original game came out,
three, four years ago.
And since then there's been, I think, about five games.
Yeah,
they really churned them out. And I was initially really down on the first game. I gave it quite a bad review in the issue of stuff, because I thought it was super repetitive and there wasn't a lot going on. It felt a really interesting tech demo, but it was long and you were just kind of doing the same thing for about 30 hours, which I thought was kind of lame.
What do you mean, killing people?
Yeah, basically assassinating people with Creed. I'm not sure.
Sneaking into a place and assassinating someone. Basically.
Well, exactly. But it was all sort of the same kind of mission, like go here, do this, go here, escort this person here.
I've not played the game, so just to get an idea from you, the balance between storyline versus actual, you're a character and you're doing something where you're actually a physical action, because as we know how an assassin is from movies and the like, that's the only way I know anything about it, and reading about it in books, they don't do much. There's a lot of sneaking,
and stuff around, and especially during the era that it was placed around. It was placed around the Renaissance era,
so you
see a lot of references to Leonardo da Vinci and all that jazz.
Exactly. Like you were saying, the balance between sort of the combat and the story was that was probably one of the better things about the game. It had an interesting story because you were set in the sort of olden day period, but it kind of flashed forward to a very near future to where we are now, and you were sort of a holographic projection of someone's mind in this olden time. So it had this kind of sci-fi feel to it as well,
which was
interesting. But unfortunately, just the gameplay itself was really boring. What was really cool is when the second one came out. Luckily, the first one sold enough that they could make a sequel. And they really improved it. It was actually a really fantastic game.
A drastic improvement. I think one of the best games of E3 2009, if I'm mistaken.
I agree. And it was, it had so much more variation in the mission structure. Things were a lot tighter and the story got a bit more in depth.
Yeah.
And ever since then, it's been improving, which is why I'm actually quite excited about this new one.
Okay, before we get a preview of the new one, I just want to know, from something you mentioned, how many games do you have to sell before you can justify a sequel?
I mean, it generally depends on how much it costs to make. So something like Assassin's Creed, they poured a lot of money into this game. I mean, I don't know numbers because they generally don't reveal that kind of thing. But, it's in the hundreds of millions, let's just say. And they spent a lot of marketing is what's known with this game, because it was a new IP, so it was a brand new title, and it wasn't a Halo, it wasn't a Call of Duty, something that people were familiar with.
Yeah.
So they had to push it out there to get people to be interested in it. Luckily, in this instance, it worked. And there are a lot of titles coming out around that time, like Dead Space or Mirror's Edge.
That's true.
Where they were interesting new IPs, but people didn't really latch onto them, and Assassin's Creed was the one that people did.
Mm.
Regardless of my bad review, people still liked it and went out and bought it. Thankfully, it got better. You do have to basically recoup your money and obviously make it worth it. It's like Hollywood, I assume, the same kind of model.
Well, here's a little bit of a teaser of Assassin's Creed Revelations.
I have lived my life to the best of my ability, but I have not been able to escape fate. Anger. Or pain. Bring me the answers. And the road that leads to truth. Reveal to me once and for all how all of this will end.
It's all very dramatic.
Ta-da! Yeah, really. Very good.
I mean, what do we say?
I think the storyline sort of, because it's the end of the trilogy.
Exactly.
What can you say? Yeah. Let's start from there.
What do I say? I mean, the game is too good. The storyline is great. The graphics are awesome, if anything. There's a drastic improvement, as Mike said, from Assassin's Creed 1 to move on. And one of the best things is that I believe the character storyline plays out really well. I like the whole sci-fi connection that the person has. That basically the storyline somewhat plays out is that in a futuristic world, they try and unlock the mind of a future generation of assassin and goes back in time to see how his forefathers became assassins and how his history transpired to a criminal intent where he is today. And that's how actually the storyline plays out. And one of the famous producers in the world, famous producer and director, Hideo Kojima, actually recognized this storyline and actually loved the idea of how he actually played out. I think Mike has more to say about this.
Yeah, I mean, what's cool with this one is that the first and second game both had a different central character that was based in sort of the past. And they're bringing both of those back in this game. Which
they're European-centric.
Yeah. So the first one was sort of set in kind of like the Crusades era and that kind of thing. Mm-hmm. And then in the second game, you were based in Renaissance Italy, like Florence. Now, this one, they've revealed a couple of locations, but again, it's still early days. It's not out until November, so they're not talking about everything. But I believe you go to Constantinople and a couple of other places as well, like Rome and that kind of thing. What I'm interested to know is that there was sort of a game, like an offshoot game that came out last year called Assassin's Creed Brotherhood. And it wasn't sort of, I mean, it was kind of a little bit tied into the main storyline. It was almost like a sequel to the second game, which is
I don't know. I felt Brotherhood was more of like like a multiplayer beta.
Well, exactly.
Yeah, that's the thing about it.
What I'm hoping is that the multiplayer elements will be brought back in this third game.
Yeah.
Because it was really good. Like, it wasn't your kind of team deathmatch, that kind of thing. It was more this kind of hide and seek.
How do you do multiplayer mode in Assassins? Are you all trying to kill each other, or are you working against a common enemy, or are you working as a team against others?
As funny as he says that, it's actually all three of those. Yeah. So you have a choice of actually doing any one of those three.
Yeah, there's different
games.
So is it a high-tech hide and seek?
Well, it's just more like a low-tech hide-and-seek, because you don't have, like, sort of traditional, like, pistols or something like that. You're using more, like, swords.
Well, you know what I mean by hide-and-seek from when we're kids, you know? Count to 10, and then I'll come and find
you. Pretty much, to a certain extent, yeah.
So, I mean, this game could go on for hours if you're pretty good at hiding.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah, because the worlds are quite large. I mean, you're playing within a full-scale section of Florence or Rome or something like that.
Well, then, how do you exactly... I mean, I'm just trying to visualize this. If you're in a multiplayer mode, how do you... How do you keep the young interested when they're very much a 10-minute culture?
Yeah.
You take a look at multiplayer and multiplayer game modes of the games I know and others. They're all very quick done.
I know, but you have to consider as well. Like, obviously, there will be like time limit, time constraints put on the multiplayer and whatnot.
Okay.
But Assassin's Creed is mainly focused on a much more mature, long-lasting player audience. Like, you won't find anybody playing games like for 5 minutes or so, playing Assassin's Creed for a simple 5 minutes. Like, if they get into Assassin's Creed, they're easily playing for a good half hour minimum within the game, like, whether it be storyline or multiplayer and so forth. I mean, that's the player's choice at the end of the day, but Assassin's Creed is mainly focused for the much more mature audiences than it is for the younger generation.
It's definitely
today.
A niche title for the multiplayer segment, and I think it's got quite a strong multiplayer community, but in comparison to something like Call of Duty, obviously it pales.
Yeah.
I really enjoyed what I played of it, you know, it was just because it was something a little bit different. And again, it's a third-person action game as well, and it's just something you don't see.
The over-your-shoulder perspective.
Yeah, exactly. Like, you're seeing sort of the back of your guy. As you said, it's got many different game types, and I think one of my favorites was the sort of the co-op element, where you sort of had one target that you had to go after as a group and sort of locate him in a city, you know, assassinate him, so to speak.
When's the release on this?
Supposedly sometime near
it's in November.
November.
In November. And if you had to predict... when it comes to, we're going to get into the top 10 in a little bit, but if you had to predict how well you think it'll do in this region?
I mean, at some point, it will reach the number one spot,
I could
sure.
see it debuting at number one. I mean, this is a pretty popular franchise.
Yeah. But considering that what other titles are coming around November time as well, like it might be a little different. Uncharted 3.
Yeah, that's actually
you got
good point.
Twisted Metal. There's so many other games coming
Battlefield 3.
Battlefield 3 as well. I mean, Call of Duty 3 even comes out at that time, like Modern Warfare. So like it's really tough to say, but if anything, like, it's definitely up there, like, as one of the big, and it's coming on around the Christmas season as well, so like sales figures are going to be through the roof, if anything. And it is the end of the trilogy, so you get to play as, I think, Ezio as well. Like, I think he was one of the main characters.
Yeah, Ezio and the original guy Altair
as well
game.
From the first one.
So you get to choose different assassins.
Well, we don't know. We don't know yet.
Again, they don't. I believe what will happen is as the storyline plays out, you're sort of zap back into the past as one of the other
exactly. So like the story will like switch over at some point or the other, but it is the conclusion to the Assassin's Creed like trilogy, so they say. So we don't even know
and
yet.
You know, as soon as it sells like a million copies, they'll make another one.
They'll make another one, but you never know.
But the original trilogy will be finished.
That's true. That is true.
Assassin's Creed Revelations coming out in November. Not the only game we're going to be looking at. We've still got Batman Arkham City, Ghost Recon Future Soldier, Captain American Super Soldier games that you can look forward to, and this week's top 10 courtesy of Virgin Megastore UAE.